Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected. Right now, we're going to hear a life-changing message from a senior pastor, Pastor Nick C.
We're doing a sermon series which we've entitled, or which we've called Hashtag Viral. And we've been looking at some of the most highlighted, most searched, and most shared verses as published by two of the most popular Bible platforms, YouVersion and Bible Gateway. Now, last week we looked at YouVersion's top ranked verse of 2017, and that was the verse from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, right? Now, if you missed the message, you can check our website at www.livingwordnra.com and you'll find a link of last week's message. Now, today's passage will be Bible Gateway's most famous verse in 2018. And the verse we just read is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with this passage. And I think some of you even have made this your life verse, right? For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Very popular verse, right? If you've been a Christian for some time, I'm sure you've heard or you've read this verse. You've seen this posted on Facebook, maybe tweeted, may even be have shared. You might even have shared it to someone during a difficult time in their lives, or somebody might have shared it to you. Now, this verse needs to be understood in its context. The situation of the Israelites in Jeremiah 29 was that they were experiencing a very drastic change in their lives. It was not just a personal change, but it was a national change. And you know what? For all of us, including us, change can be difficult, right? Change can be hard. I heard a story of a Grab driver, and it was his first day on the job. And so he picked up his first passenger for his first ride. They were driving down the road when, without warning, the passenger at the back seat leaned over and tapped him on his shoulder and said, "Excuse me, sir." And when the passenger did that, the Grab driver just screamed. He lost control of the car. He nearly hit a bus. The car jumped up a curb just inches to a window of a shop. He almost had a major accident. So everything was just silent for a moment. And then the driver told his passenger, "Man, you just scared the daylights out of me." And the passenger, who was just shocked and was actually still shaking, said, "Man, I'm sorry, man. All I did was just tap your shoulder and said, 'Excuse me, sir.'" And the Grab driver, you know, hung his head and dropped his hand, put his hand on his face, and he said, "You know, it was really my fault. You see, today is my first day on the job as a Grab driver. But for the past 20 years, I was a funeral hearse driver for St. Peter's." Talk about a change of career, right? Now, the passage we're looking at today has to do with the change of the Israelites, a different kind of change in their lives, a very drastic change where everything in their life was turned upside down. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been put in a situation that you did not want to be? Maybe it was years ago where you found your place in a place or a situation that you didn't want to be. You didn't have a choice. Could have been a job thing. Let's say your father or your parents were reassigned, and all of a sudden you found yourself out of the home, saying goodbye to your old friends, and finding yourself in an unfamiliar situation. But deep in your heart, you're just saying, "Lord, I don't want to be here." Have you ever found yourself or caught yourself in a life situation that you don't like? Maybe you're in one right now. You don't actually want to do what you're doing because of the pandemic. You've been forced maybe to accept a job that you don't want because, you know, you lost your job. And what a line. And now you wake up every day thinking with a sigh and praying, Lord, I don't like this situation. Maybe you're a student. You know, you entered college with a lot of hope and excitement. You know, you're excited to go to college. And then you found yourself under the worst teacher ever. He just comes into class maybe 3 or 4 times during the semester. And then he gives the midterms and the finals. And then you went to check your grade if you passed. And you found out that you're just 0.2 shy from the passing. Your hopes dashed. You never had a failing grade before. First year, dean's list, now third year, you just had a failure. I share that because that was my story that happened to me when I was in college. And during that time, I said to God, God, why did you put me under this guy? Why, Lord? That's what we do, don't we? When we are put in a place that we don't want to be, or when we are caught in a situation that we do not want to be, we grumble, we lament. We complain about our situation. Are you there today? We've all experienced such kinds of situations where we are put in a situation or circumstance that we don't like, or we are in a place that we don't want to be, and we don't have a choice about it. We are forced to accept it. And which begs the question, what do you do when God's plan does not match your plans? You know, you had it all laid out. By the time I'm 25, I'd have a master's degree. Or you thought that when you get to 30, you'd be the CEO of a company. Better yet, when you're 40, you'd be the owner of one of the most thriving businesses and you're making millions. Or you'd be in Canada or in the United States living a better life. Only to find yourself that as a student, now you're actually struggling. Sao na lang ang masters? Galisud mangani ko karon? Or all of a sudden, you found yourself, what, jobless? You got sick. Then you're just there, you know, tulala. Caught by surprise in a situation that you have never intended or wanted to be. What do you do when God's plans are different from your plans? For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. A lot of us have held on to this verse, right? We memorized it. We read it. We looked at it and meditated on it on times of pain and trouble and disappointment. But you know, the thing that we probably never ask is this. What if God's plans are not the same as our plans? What if God's intention for you is not the same as your desires? What if God's plan is not for you to go to Canada or America? What if God's plan is not for you to be a business owner or an entrepreneur? What if God's plan is not for you to be married to this particular person? What if God's plan is not for you to have a master's degree or a PhD? You know, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 is one of the most misunderstood and misapplied verses in the Bible. And yet, it is also very powerful. It is very encouraging if we get it right and we understand what it means. So today we're going to study this verse, you know, and I'm going to repeat a thought that I shared to you last week. And this is the thought. And it's that God's plans for you are always better than any plans that you have for yourself. Now, last week, we looked at this quote in the context of success. We said that, you know, success is really guaranteed by God alone. Amen? Today, we're going to look at it in the context of being in a place that we don't want to be. We want to look at this understanding that where we are might not be what we want to be. As a Christian, if you're in a situation where you find yourself in one of the worst events of your life, you don't like where you are, you can be assured that God is still working His best plans for you. And God's plan is always better than any plan that you have for yourself. Amen. So let's look at this verse. We must look at the passage, of course, in view of its context. Now, here's the setting of Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's Babylonian captivity and the exile of the Jewish people. You know, gone were the glory days of the Israelites. The nation in charge this time is Babylon. And because of their sin against God, God had allowed them to be conquered by the Babylonians. The city of Jerusalem was in ruins. The temple was destroyed, cannibalized, and everything has been plundered. This was not a good time to be a Jew. You know, they had to march something like 700 miles in the desert to be led into exile. They didn't have a choice. Now, interestingly, the one who wrote this letter, Jeremiah, was left back in Jerusalem. Now, the exile must have been really, really horrifying. Imagine with me that you're one of the exiles and that you have been brought to Babylon. You saw your city utterly destroyed. Now you are in Babylon. There is no temple. You don't have the songs that you can sing. The food is different. Everybody's talking different. The weather is different. You know, your skin color is different. You can't help but cry out to God and say, "Lord, I don't like this place. I don't want to be here." Everything has been rearranged. The life that you had in the past is gone. In the future, it's uncertain. You know, the essence of being in exile is that you are in a place that you don't want to be. And you are exiled because you don't have a choice. So what do you do? Now, I believe our text today answers that question in very, very practical terms. I'm going to share with you three principles for us to remember whenever we find ourselves in a place that we don't want to be. Three simple thoughts that we must tell ourselves, that the Word of God reminds us. The first thing we need to realize is that you are where you are because God has put you there. Now remember this. God does not look at your circumstances the same way as you do. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, you know you are where you are because God wants you there. Otherwise, you know, if God wanted you elsewhere, you'd be somewhere else. And even if it's a painful place, it is better to be where you are and know that God is with you than to be in a place without the Lord, right? In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, it says, "In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Now, it doesn't say that you don't have to plan, right? But what it does say is God determines his steps. Now, the Jewish people never planned to end up in Babylon. I'm sure of that. In fact, that would have been the last place they would go. And yet God was going to let them stay there for 70 years. Now, should this encourage us? Well, it all depends on what you believe about God. If you don't believe that God is involved in the affairs of our lives, if he doesn't care, then it doesn't matter because you won't see his hand at all, even in the darkest moments of your life. But if you believe in a God of details, if you believe that God is in charge of every aspect of your life, then it makes all the difference in the world to know that he takes personal responsibility for allowing certain things to happen in your life. And it's very important for us to understand that we are where we are because God wants us where we are. So be encouraged. Some of you, if you feel really trapped, understand you are not. Because God wants you to discover, God wants you to know that you can worship Him even in a place that you don't want to be. So, how do you view your current circumstances today? Are there things in this life that disappoints you? Are you frustrated? Do you feel trapped? But here's a question. Do you also see the hand of God in your life? You are where you are right now because God wants you where you are. That's the first one. The second is this. You are called to make the most of your situation. Say that to the person next to you. You are called to make the most of your situation. Amen. Put yourself in the shoes of the Jewish people at that time. What kind of encouragement do you think they wanted to hear from God? You know, they heard there's a letter from Jerusalem, from Jeremiah. What is God going to say? Look at verse 5. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Wait a minute. Build houses, Lord? It takes time to build houses, right? Plant gardens? Aren't there seasons for farming? Did we hear it right? Didn't the other prophets say that it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be a short time? Why is God telling us to build houses and plant gardens and settle down? Now, how would you respond to that? Let's just say the Lord tells you, child, my daughter, my son, what you're going through right now will last a little bit more. Will last longer than you thought. I want you to settle down because I will not be taking you out of your situation in the near future. What would you feel? How would you react? Then look at the next verse, verse 6. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Lord, marry. Now, this is not for the single. Hi, single si Lord, marry. No, no. God, they're asking, is this speaking? Have children increase? Lord, those things take time. And look at the next verse, verse 7. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. You know, the word peace, there's the word shalom. And in the Jewish mind, shalom is only for Israel. And here God is saying, seek shalom and prosperity for Babylon. Not only that, pray for them. Pray for your captors. What? These are the guys who took us, you know, and destroyed our city. These are the guys who destroyed the temple. Now, quick application here. Maybe you have a difficult boss, or you have a terror teacher, or a problematic colleague. They've been making life difficult for you. Now, to be honest, what we do first is what? We grumble and complain at the side that's kapuya ito hanay. Have you ever considered praying for them? Here comes God saying, pray for them. Pray for your employer. Pray for your teacher. Pray for that, you know, difficult colleague. Because pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And the command of God is really simple here. He's saying to the Jewish people, he's saying to us, be the best where you are. Bloom where you are planted. Make the most of your situation. You might not like the place that you are in today, but it doesn't matter, because God has placed you where you are. In every bad situation, we also have to face the question, are we going to complain or are we going to get busy for God? Right? God was saying to the Jewish people, you are in Babylon now. Make the best of it. Don't fret. Don't grumble. Don't spend your days dreaming about Jerusalem. You aren't going back there for 70 years. I have put you in Babylon for a reason. Don't waste your moments looking back at what used to be. Use your energies to make your life better now. That's good advice, isn't it? It's not easy. Amen? It's not easy. If you're a student now and you're struggling with online classes, and the truth is, you know, discipline is hard because you've never developed discipline. Then you have teachers who are giving you unreasonable demands. And you just can't imagine laboratory online. How do we do that? And so you play this if only game in your mind. If only .. fill in the blanks. You might be an entrepreneur or a businessman and things are not going as well as you thought you wanted to be. You're frustrated with the way things are doing. No matter how you try, and every day as you're looking at the bottom line, you know it's not that good. You try to diversify and you've run out of ideas. And you also play the if only game. If only .. fill in the blanks. Or you had a good thing going with your job, right? You loved your job, but suddenly the company has just gone bad and maybe they're downsizing and now you're getting more work for the same pay. Or worse, for some, you're just one of those who have to be let go because there's no more business and the pandemic has just affected everything and you've lost your job. Now here you're thinking, the prospect of finding another job does not sit really well to you. If only, Lord, fill in the blank. Here's what we need to ask ourselves. Are we going to complain or are we going to get busy for God? You see, the bottom line is this. You are where you are by the sovereign choice of God. And you can serve God where you are right now. And you can glorify God where you are right now. It doesn't mean that you don't plan. It doesn't mean that you don't try other options. But it only means to say that, God, I am placed here today. I know you have put me here. And I believe that you can provide for me what I need right now so that I can serve you where I am. So that's a question we need to ask. Do you believe that God can provide you what you need right now so that you can serve Him right where you are? Don't let that question pass you by, okay? Because in a sense, when we are grumbling and we are moping and we are complaining, we are really saying that, you know, I don't really believe it. We have let our circumstances define God instead of God defining our circumstances. Now, here's two statements I want you to consider carefully. Is this, if I am in Jerusalem, I will serve God in Jerusalem. If I'm in Babylon, I will serve God in Babylon. And that's true no matter where you are or whatever circumstance you're in. You can be in Cebu, you can be in Manila, you can be in Singapore or in the Middle East or in America. You can be working online or offline, or you might not even have a job. Your business might be booming, or your business might be losing. You could be in prison, or you can be in the top office. You can be anywhere or in any situation and still serve the Lord. It's not about geography. It's not about your situation. It's about your heart. You can serve God in Babylon. You can worship God in Babylon just as well as you can serve Him in Jerusalem. And that's a very hard lesson. But you know what? It is good news if you receive it from the Lord. You are where God wants you to be, and you are called to serve where God, you are called to serve Him where you are. Here's a third principle. God's plan is always the best plan. Again, look at the person beside you. Tell that person, God's plan is always the best plan. You know what was happening here for the Jewish people? There were some prophets, actually a particular prophet named Hananiah, was preaching false hope to the Jews in Babylon. They told them, you know what? Don't worry. The exile will end soon. Everything will go back to normal. In fact, they were told by the false prophets that in 2 years, they will be back in Jerusalem. The problem is this. This was not from God. But you can imagine what this meant for the Jew. He'd be relieved. Ay, salamat. You know, 2 years, it's not so bad, right? Let's just wait it out. Things will get better. We will return to Jerusalem soon. This must have been a popular message for the people. But when you read the letter of Jeremiah, it paints a very different scenario. Verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Wait a minute. What? 70 years? What happened to the 2 years? Lord, isik yun apod. Oh no. In other words, God was saying to them, most of you will not go home. Most of you will die here. That's why God told them, settle down. Plant gardens, build houses, marry, increase in number. And if you do not know God, that would be a very disheartening message, right? What do you do when God's plan is different from yours? I could imagine them discussing this. How old are you, Nagani, honey? 50. We cannot survive like 70 years. Asa naman taana 70 years? Right? We're not going to see the fulfillment of the prophecy. Because the truth is this, 70 years is a long time to be somewhere you don't want to be, right? Now, what if the Lord will delay your situation right now? What if we're going to go back to ECQ? What do you do if God's plan is different from your plan? You know what? God's plans and ours are rarely the same. Because we tend to look at life through the lens of our tiny vision. You know, what we want, what we think is best for our family, for us, what makes sense, what will make us happy, what we want for our children and so on. And sometimes these things are noble and sometimes they're good goals, right? But by definition, even our noblest desires pale in comparison when it's weighed against the plan of God. The plan of God spans through all the ages, covers the entire universe that started long before you and I were born and will be completed in the future. God's purposes go beyond what we see, right? We cannot move forward as long as we live in a dream world of what used to be and what we want to be or what might be. God calls us to live in the present, to do our best right now, right where we are, serving Him with all that we have. And sometimes we might find ourselves in a Babylon where we don't want to be. But friends, accepting that reality will reveal what we truly believe. Let me say that again. Accepting that reality reveals what we truly believe. Let me give you a quote from John Piper. Here's what John Piper says. He says, the universe exists so that we may live in a way that demonstrates that Jesus is more precious than life. And what he's saying here, what does he mean by that? It's simply this. He's saying that when tragedy strikes, when life caves in, when your plans have been dashed, when you find yourself in a place you don't want to be, that's when you will discover what you really believe. And that's where you will find out, and that's when the world will find out what you really believe. That either God is enough or He isn't. That either Jesus is more precious than life or He isn't. That God's plan is better or it isn't. Because we need to come to grips with the fact that sometimes God's plan is different from what we expect it to be. Now, I want you to think about that because it's very crucial in understanding Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, two very simple observations here. Number one is that this verse, verse 11, says that God is thinking about us. The Hebrew text in verse 11 contains the word thoughts or thinking, actually three times. No, it's in meaning God is saying, God is not just saying, I have plans for you. What He's really saying is, I have been thinking about you. And that's very different. And that's very personal, actually. You know, a boss might tell his employee, I've got plans for you. And it might mean that, you know, more work, right? But if the boss tells the employee, you know, I've been thinking about you, that means something entirely different, right? The Jews really needed to know this because they were in exile. They were far from home. They were carried against their wills under the power of the Babylonians. And God was saying, you know what? You won't be returning home until 70 years, which is actually good news and bad news. Good news because it meant they won't be in Babylon forever. But bad news because, again, 70 years is a long time. And God is saying, you think I've forgotten you? You know, you're here because you forgot me. Babylon is my discipline for you. But that does not diminish my love for you. You are forever in my thoughts. That's what God is saying here. I'm thinking of you. You are still my people. I have never forgotten you. You know, it gives me great comfort knowing that God thinks of me, that God thinks of us, even when we don't. Let me show you how Spurgeon illustrates it. Here's what he says. He says, a child playing on the boat deck does not understand the tremendous engine whose beat is the throbbing heart of the stately Atlantic liner. And yet all is safe, for the engineer, the captain, and the pilot are in their places and well know what is being done. Let not the child trouble itself about things too great for it. What he's saying is this. You know, a little boy just playing in the deck of the boat, you know, doesn't have to worry about what's going to happen with the boat because the engineer, the captain, everybody's doing what they're doing. Let not the child trouble itself about things too great for it. The fact is this. We know very little. We understand very little. But one thing is clear. God thinks about us. God is in charge. He knows what He is doing. Now, secondly, God's thoughts for us are good. So God is thinking about us. God's thoughts of us are good. It's one thing to know that God is thinking of us. It's another to know what He's thinking. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, this is a very important statement for the Jewish people because it answers the question, is God for us or against us? God is telling them, you know what? I sent you to Babylon. I'm thinking about you while you are in Babylon. I have not forgotten you in Babylon. I am with you in Babylon. I will give you a future in Babylon and I will bring you home from Babylon. When you look at Jeremiah 29 verse 11, a lot of preachers will use this verse to proclaim that, you know what? God wills for the Christian to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. They will tell you that God will keep you from suffering if only you will trust Him, if only you will believe Him. They'll tell you, see, it says God's plans is to prosper you, not to harm you. And if for some reason you find yourself in a difficult situation, maybe it's because you don't have faith. But Jeremiah 29 teaches, and the context is the exact opposite, right? God's people were in exile. They were suffering. And we understand from the context that this exile was not going to end anytime soon. So what is this text telling us? What is the application? It's simply this. God is saying, I will be with you in your suffering. I will not leave you. It's a reality for all of us, right? We will not escape. But God says to His people and to us that in the middle of this suffering, He will enable us to endure it. In fact, God does not promise to the Jewish people that suffering will end in a short time. The hope that God is giving to them and to us is this: I will be with you through that. That means God calls for us to patiently trust Him. 70 years is a long time to wait, right? You know, most of us would want God to work out our problems by the end of the week. You know, not the end of the century. But God calls us to trust Him patiently. Sometimes when we are in a situation that we don't want to be, we don't understand what's going on, and it's very hard to pray, you know what? We can trust. Story was told of J. Hudson Taylor. This is the guy who founded China Inland Mission to reach out to the Chinese people. And during the days of the Boxer Rebellion in the 1900s, missionaries were being captured and killed. And he was in this agony of soul. He could not pray. And in his journal, he summarized his spiritual condition this way. He said it this way. He said, I can't read. I can't think. And I can't pray. But I can trust. There will be times when it's going to be hard to open the Bible. Sometimes we won't be able to focus our thoughts on God. It'll be hard to pray. But in those moments when we can't think or do anything else, we can still trust in the loving purposes of our Heavenly Father. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Ultimately, this is a message of hope. Because here's the thing. In times of difficulty, in times of discouragement and pain, you and I can start in one of two places, either our problems or God. Here's something to think about. Do you start with your problems or do you start with God? Because oftentimes, the ways of God are not the ways that we expect it to be. Be encouraged that we are on His mind and that His plans are good. He may have reasons that we don't see, but we are simply called to trust Him and rest in His sovereignty. So what do you do when you're in a place that you don't want to be? Well, God invites us to understand that we are exactly where He wants us to be and that we are called to make the best of our situation, and that God wants us to trust that His plans for us are always the best. You know, the experience of the Israelites we're an extreme form of what we experience from time to time. We all experience a form of exile in life. Can you imagine a baby in his mother's womb? He's at home, you know, okay kaya siya dito for 9 months. All of a sudden, he's taken out. And what does the baby do? He would cry, right? Because he's taken from a familiar, comfortable place to an unfamiliar situation. The baby would cry and cry until such time that he will be accustomed to the new situation. He would enjoy it until his mom brings him to school. How many of you parents here know what I mean? You know, you explain to your little child, say, you know what, anak, go to school na ta, ha? It's time for you to go on and do all of this. And you bring the child to school, you make sure that he sees you in school, you hold his hand, you slowly leave the room. And then when your child suddenly realizes you're there, you're not there, what does he do? He cries, mommy, daddy, you know, where are you? I want mommy, I want daddy. Life is a series of experiences of exile, right? From nursery to elementary, to high school to senior, to college, to work, to marriage, to jobs, etc. It's a series of exiles. And God takes us from one exile to another, doesn't He? And oftentimes, we cry out, Lord, I don't want this. I don't like to be here. Where are you today? Do you find yourself in a situation that you do not like? Are you in a place that you don't want to be? Now, Marcel Proust said this, the real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. Jeremiah invites us to see our situation today with new eyes of hope. What do you see? If all you see is Babylon, then you will be miserable. But if you see the hand of God, you will always have hope. Life is short. We enter this world quickly and we leave this world quickly. How precious is the gift of life. And if you're a Christian, how blessed you are because of God. Because even in Babylon, we can worship the Lord. And how sad it would be if we go through life complaining and grumbling about our misfortune, focused on ourselves and blind to all the beauty that God has placed in our path. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Praise the Lord. Amen.